Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman. And we will have the head coach joining us shortly. It is the bye week edition of the Gus Bradley Show, the week after the Jaguars got kind of a crazy victory over there in London at Wembley Stadium, to say the least. If your stomach didn't get knots throughout the course of that game, then I don't know if you're a Jaguars fan. For a lot of people that I talk to that are, I guess you could say, Jaguar fans or casual fans, thought it was a great game, entertaining, back and forth. They said it was, you know, must-see TV, but certainly up and down, and glad to see that the Jaguars got their first victory. And now joining us via the phone line is the head coach himself, Gus Bradley. Good evening, Gus.
Lugs, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually looking forward to having some time off. I'm going to commune with nature and kind of get centered.
That was going to happen. I didn't even have to ask.
You got to get centered again. You know, and speaking of getting centered, before we talk football, the bye week is a great opportunity to really kind of regain the focus or regain the energy, because you know what, the grind happens once again when you return back to work at the first part of next week. And I'm sure you and your coaching staff are using what little opportunity during that bye week that you do have to get a break.
Well, you did. You know, we took flew back Monday and Tuesday. We met with the players, and then Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday, you know, our self-scout analysis. And you're right. I think it's so important to kind of get away for a little bit. And, you know, sometimes when you get away, you think about it, it becomes even more clear. And I think you're just a better coach. You're better with preparation. You're better with the players, and the players appreciate it too. So, yeah, there's a lot of advantages. And believe me, Logs, I think our wives appreciate it.
Oh, hey, I'm glad that you and Mick are going to have an opportunity to spend some time together, and that's what it's all about as well. When you guys get back and the players, you talk about the players appreciate it. The collective bargaining agreement is very rigid when it comes to the bye week. What are the rules that you cannot break with players? How many days off are they allowed to have, or do they have to have?
Yeah, I think it's 4 days. You know, so however you want to do it, some teams may, you know, go and have a practice on Thursday, and then they give them off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then they start up again on Tuesday, or however they want to work it. We chose to get the players out of here, and then on Monday we're going to have a practice. So their days off will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And from the player's standpoint, is it good to have a bye following a trip overseas, playing a game in London, for the body?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you were on the trip, Logs. I mean, when you come back, it takes a day or two, you know, really Tuesday you probably felt the effects of the trip, and then Wednesday you finally felt better. So I think, you know, it worked out great at this time of the season. You know, for our whole team and for everybody, just to kind of recollect our thoughts, it's, you know, it works out. It's pretty good timing.
Certainly a wild game in London. I was just saying before you came on that there's a lot of people that, boy, their stomach got knots at different times in that ball game, and really kind of took you through the whole range of emotions throughout the course of a game. But getting the win in the fashion that you did, can that be a real positive for this football team going forward?
Oh, sure. Without a doubt. I think you look at every opportunity. And, you know, this opportunity presented where we, you know, all three phases had to work together. And, boy, some big plays throughout the game. You know, I know we talk about the couple scores, you know, Telvin's pick for a touchdown and Chris Clemens off the sack caused fumble. But Jonathan Cyprian's play, you know, down in the goal line, you know, to get the ball back. And, you know, that was part of the process where we had to try to stop the momentum. But to be in two-minute situations, you've seen the offense be in them. You know, it's end of half, and, you know, we've been efficient. And, you know, to utilize that to help us drive for a game-winning score, so big for our team, so big for, you know, some of the youth that is playing out there on the field to go through that experience.
What are you learning about Blake Bortles? As you know, you look at his performance last year, and you know that it was, you know, he's very raw, very young, very inexperienced, and then this year some of the same things are starting to show themselves. And what I'm talking about is his ability to raise his level of play at the end of the half and at the end of the game in critical moments. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's that poise, the competitiveness that he has, you know, when his number called, you know, to really lead this team. And, you know, some great traits by him. You know, he's very hard on himself, Boggs, very hard. And it's almost like when he does something really well, you don't see a lot of emotion, a lot of, you know, energy spent. He comes over to the sideline. But, you know, when he struggles or doesn't do very well, that's when he's really hard on himself. And I think that's the area where he needs to keep improving. But part of that is what makes him so competitive, that competitive drive. And, you know, that along with the other 10 guys that were on the field, I think we utilized that, and they showed up in that last drive.
Well, he had a right to be mad at himself prior to that last drive. I mean, that interception that he threw was not a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about other things, too, if he misses a read or doesn't call protection. But without a doubt, you know, but how did he handle it afterwards? I mean, you know, he acted like a, you know, that wasn't a 14-year vet or an 8-year vet. It's a guy in his second year that just threw an interception for a touchdown. And then to come back and perform like he did, and, you know, it's great to see. It's all part of that growth that's taking place.
Well, and with this game, so much to learn from, and one of the areas that I'm sure that your defense is going to learn from is, hey, we had a great opportunity to kind of start driving nails, so to speak, to put this game away in the second half when we came out at half and had the lead 27-13. What do you talk about, and what do you tell your defense after a game like that?
Well, you're right. You know, we had opportunities to make plays. It wasn't like, you know, we let off the pedal. We brought pressures. We did some of the same things, different styles of blitzes, but had some opportunities. We got the one fumble. Telvin missed the interception in the end zone. And, you know, in the first half, what the defense gave up? What, 13 points, right, Logs?
That's right.
And the second half, how many did they give up?
Gave up, well, you can't count the pick six.
Yeah, so it's 11.
Yeah.
Right? So the second half, you know, gave up 11 points, but they gave up a critical touchdown. You know, second and 15, a long explosive pass, and then they got the two-point conversion. And, you know, so that's the point that we look at right there. And it's so true. Hey, we got a chance here. Let's take over this game on defense, and we missed that opportunity. With that being said, after the touchdown, there's, you know, whatever the short time period left, the defense needs to come up with a stop, and they held them on fourth down. So, you know, similar to the offense, some good things. You know, we're finding who we are more. I think trying to utilize the guy's strengths and just trying to find the truth.
Well, and you're starting to see the offense and that young core that you have, and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles and T.J. Yeldon. Obviously, his return was big for that game against Buffalo in London. Defensively, you're seeing some signs. The takeaways were big. Special teams. How do you get special teams back to where you want it to be, being a strength?
Right. And I think, you know, you look at the punt return. That's a big area where I think as far as our returns versus the other team. And, you know, you try to win that battle. And right now we're not winning that battle. And so that's an area that we're really looking hard at. And, you know, I think they had, 13 of their 18 returns have been over 9 yards. And so that's an area, you know, in self-scout and, you know, the time of this bye week, you look at those things and say, you know, what's causing that? Is it hang time? Is it direction? Is it coverage? What style of tackles are we missing? And, you know, you really got to do a self-analysis of it. And, you know, same thing with kickoff return and our kickoff coverage and our punt, all of those. So we want to make sure that's a winning edge. And the game against Buffalo, it wasn't for us. So, you know, at times during the season it has. We just got to keep looking at, you know, personnel, what we're asking them to do, and how we can best utilize that.
Well, and one of the differences this year for your football team in traveling to London, you left on a Thursday evening, arrived into London Friday morning, whereas in past years, the first year that you went over there, you left on a Monday, got there Tuesday morning. Last year, you leave Sunday after the game in Cincinnati, arrived there on Monday morning. Did you like the schedule better this year? I mean, irregardless of getting a win, did you like the schedule better?
You know, I did. in conversation with some of the players that have been on other teams that went later in the week, you know, and talking to them, you know, they said that when they got there on Friday, they didn't feel real good. And then Saturday, they felt a little better. And then Sunday, they felt great. And just conversations with our players, that same type of feeling was really throughout the team. They felt really good on Sunday. So, you know, that's the whole deal, is to get your players ready to go where they feel like they're in a good frame of mind. They feel fresh, recovered, and ready to go. So that part of it I really liked. As well as, you know, you get a lot to do a lot of your majority of your preparation at home. The players are at home for the first couple of days of the week. So overall, I thought it worked out pretty well.
Well, and with one of the with the trip being on Thursday, coming back, you know, the league has been talking about how they would like to eventually get more exposure over in London, and eventually maybe possibly having a team either there or relocating a team. If you had to come back with your team and play a game this week, how difficult would that be on a coaching staff and on the players?
Well, I think it would be a challenge, and I think for this fact, I think you'd have to adjust. I've thought about that, and you know, where usually Wednesday's a padded practice, and you would go out there, you might have to relook at that, and you know, it might be more of a non-padded practice, and maybe Thursday's your padded practice. You know, just because of the trip and really, you know, and being around the players this week and kind of talking to them about how they feel on Tuesday and then on Wednesday, you start formulating a plan that if that should happen, how you would go about it. So, you know, I think there would be some adjusting. You would have to adjust with the players and what you ask of them, you know, really, again, for the following week to get them ready for that Sunday's game.
All right, Gus, hang tight. Let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show. We've got the head coach via the phone line, and we'll continue to talk with him for one more segment right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Lagerman, and joining us via the phone line is the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, it was announced in London that the Jaguars, and Shad Khan talked about this extensively, the Jaguars signed a five-year extension to play games at Wembley. So beyond next year, that's basically another, counting next year, it will be another 6 years. How is it for you and the players going over to play and having a commitment like this? Because, you know, the one thing that was very clear this year is that the number of Jaguar fans that were in attendance wearing Jaguars paraphernalia, certainly it increased from year one to year two and now year three.
It sure has. I mean, it's pretty evident. When you went to our practice and then you went to the square with some of our players, you could feel the excitement and, you know, the different jerseys that you saw. It wasn't just old-school jerseys, right, Lugs? It was updated jerseys, and they were really into it. And you could really, really feel it during the game, too. So, obviously, the popularity is growing over there. The popularity for our team is growing. And it was just an overall really, really good experience and great atmosphere.
Did you have a hard time figuring out exactly what the fans were doing? Because there was times when you guys were on defense and then on the video boards, which were on each end zone, they said make noise, and it sounded like the crowd was booing. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that, but I did remember the first year that they were trying to figure out times when to get excited and when to be quiet, but I didn't notice it as much this year.
Well, the thing that was, I ended up finding this out because I'm like, wait a minute, you know, the boards are asking them to make noise, but I guess that's how they make noise. Like in a soccer game, from the way I understand it, is when they kind of boo, it's not really booing, it's the way that they make noise encouraging their team. If they don't like something, they whistle.
Why didn't you tell me that beforehand, Log?
I was sitting there going,
got our headset on, you know, so it's hard to hear it. But I do know when you hear the noise through the headset, you know it's really loud. And especially at the end there, that's when you could really hear it.
Yeah, and the Jaguar flags that were flying throughout the course of the game. The other thing that was kind of unique about this game was that Yahoo bought the rights. It was the first time in NFL history that an NFL game was streamed worldwide. And I guess they reported, the NFL did, and whether these numbers are accurate or not, I think 15.2 million unique, I guess, views. That's a tremendous number.
It really is. You know, and sometimes teams, you know, they take a look at the brand and getting their name out there. And all that brings back, you know, a reflection back to Jacksonville. And, you know, that it's recognizable. So it helps out in so many ways. I know Shad was extremely excited after the game. And, you know, just as well as our players, to play in an environment like that where it touched so many people and, you know, to play like we did, to come out with a win was great.
Well, with this bye week, you talked about being able to take a step back to maybe look at things from a different perspective. Have you been able to gain a different perspective on anything yet?
You want to ask my wife? She's like, hey, we got to get back. This is about us on this trip. And, you know, you think about things throughout. But, yeah, you do. You know, it will come. You know, I'm coming back tomorrow. You know, I think you get a chance to visit with your coaches one-on-one and just get all the perspective. I've had a chance, had great meetings with our players, you know, one-on-one. So, you know, you're just always trying to find ways to you know, all right, when we come back Monday, let's really focus our attention. And, you know, it's tough because right now you sometimes look at what could have been, and you really should look at what can be. And in order to what can be, you got to correct the things, you know, from the previous games, take a good hard look at it, and then move on Monday.
Well, one of the things that you took a good hard look at was you changed kind of the way that you play defense. I mean, your defense for the first couple of years has been a four-man pressure defense, and over the last couple of weeks, you have increased the amount of pressures, and it obviously worked to some extent against the Buffalo Bills. Some of those pressures that are defensive packages that work were still four-man pressure, but is that something you anticipate being able to continue to use?
Yeah, I think it's based on game plan. You know, there was a lot of variables that led us to that game plan that we looked at, and you know, so, and just like I said, I think when you pressure, there's some good things that can take place, and then there's some opportunities for some big plays on their end, and we had a couple of them. I think four of their seven explosive plays came off of pressure, but we also, because of our pressure, we had we scored a touchdown off a sack caused fumble, and we got another turnover. So there's some good intake, and you just try to limit those opportunities for explosive plays, knowing that, you know, there's a chance for a big play as well.
Well, and this week here in Jacksonville, the big game is Florida-Georgia, which you can't really kind of go anywhere without recognizing that it's happening, especially when you come into the offices. You know, the whole preparations are being made for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, whatever it is that they want to call it. Is this something that you may be in attendance with General Manager Dave Caldwell to watch, you know, potential future draft picks?
Well, we'll talk tomorrow. So, you know, that's a possibility. I know we'll have people there, and Dave and I have had conversations. We went to the bowl game that was here last year, and, you know, so, you know, we'll have conversations about that. But what a great atmosphere, great game. I mean, all the tradition that comes with it, the loyalty that you're seeing. I know where I'm at right now, this hotel, it's filled with fans, you know, for that game. So it's really cool to be a part of that and to see that taking place in Jacksonville.
Do you have anything like that up at North Dakota State?
Yeah, North Dakota State and University of North Dakota. You know, the state would shut down logs for that game.
Did they play that at a neutral site?
You know, they did. It was a long, long-standing tradition. And then when North Dakota State moved Division One, they cut it off for, what was it? Must have been like 8-9 years. And then they replayed it. They started it up again this year.
Do they have a trophy or anything specific to that game?
Yeah, a nickel trophy. Yep, the nickel trophy.
And what is the trophy of?
It's just, on one side it's got a bison, and then the other side of a tribal member. Because they were the University of North Dakota Sioux. And so now, you know, through the NCAA, they've had to change that. So I'm not sure, you know, if it's still that or if they changed it or what, but that's what it used to be.
When does that game typically get played? Is it end of the year?
No, it's because they're in different conferences. It's a non-conference game. So they already played it. I think they played it about 3-4 weeks ago.
And who won?
North Dakota State.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hey, Gus, appreciate you taking the time. And enjoy your time off and enjoy your time off getting the mind back ready to go for the remainder of the season.
No, I appreciate it. And thanks for doing this for me. It's believe me, I think everybody greatly appreciates it, including my wife. So thanks, Logs, and Joe, and take care.
Okay, Gus. And now we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. We will have kind of a new face, maybe to some, on the Jaguars Radio Network, or a new voice, but not a new face or new voice to a lot of those right here in Jacksonville. And that is J.P. Shadrick right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And back on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Lagerman, and now joining me in studio is J.P. Shadrick. Many people already know him from Jaguars.com, the Jaguars Radio Network on the pre- and post-game shows, and also the around-the-league updates throughout the course of the radio broadcast.
Yeah, you acted like I was a new guy earlier.
You know, I mean, you are this show.
I'm not Gus Bradley. So
no, you're
yeah.
you're not.
No, I'm not.
You're not. You got a little
good
bit
to
more,
see you, man. What's
you
up?
Got a little more hair than Gus.
A little bit, very little, very little.
Hey, when we got to London on Friday morning, I was able to go to the hotel, get something to eat, mm-hmm. take a big nap.
Did you eat the same place as T.J. Yeldon did?
Fortunately, not.
Okay, good.
And I know that when you hit the ground, you had event after event after event the entire time that we were in London. Mm-hmm. How many different events did you actually do?
Well, let's see. Friday.
And I'm not talking just events that you had to do, but the events that you chose to do.
Right. Well, we had to go to practice. That was Friday. So the team arrived at the hotel and then got a little meeting time. So I had time to at least get to the hotel, unpack, and you know, clean up before 11 o'clock bus. I think we got to the hotel about 9:30.
Yeah, that's about right.
And then the first bus to the practice at Allianz Park, the home of Saracens Rugby Club, was at 11. So I wanted to go early and just get there and see it. You know, I don't want to sit in the hotel room. That's boring. So at 11, went to the practice field, got our bearings of what would be going on that day, because we'll just cover it like a regular practice for Jaguars.com. We had an Inside the Jaguars we shot there at the end of practice. So we came back after the Play 60 event after practice.
So they had a Play 60 event right there on that practice
field. On the field, yeah. So the team practice, the Jaguars practice, the team went back to the hotel. Practice squad guys stayed for the Play 60 event.
Okay.
And took a separate bus back later. We stayed for that also. Mm-hmm. Shot that as part of Inside the
Jaguars.
How
many different kids did they have?
Oh, gosh. They probably had 120. I mean,
that's
it was a lot of kids.
Yeah,
a lot of kids. Cheerleaders stayed. Practice squad guys stayed. They had some local American football players that were over there helping out as well.
Right.
So that was cool. Stayed for that and then came back with the practice squad guys on the bus. And that was it for the for Friday evening. And I just kind of tooled around in London, just wandered around a little bit.
Well, all right, okay, so wait a minute. You don't have to skip through all that.
Okay.
I mean, where'd you go on Friday?
Well,
night?
I was off. I just wandered around.
Because you texted me and you were like, hey, I'm going to go hit the town. You want to go? And I was like,
yeah, you were staying. No.
I'm getting too old for that, JP.
Yeah,
I need another nap.
Of course you are. I just walked around, found some pub, ate some lamb with shepherd's pie, and then ended up at some other pub and
the food. By the way, for those that don't know, the food is very different over there.
Yeah, I
think. And I'm not trying to criticize it, but
okay.
but it's a little more bland, I think, than what most Americans are accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this: that last year when we stayed at this one place, it was called the Grove.
The Grove, yes.
We ate right there, so I mean, we didn't really travel anywhere and go. The year before that, we had kind of two different hotels that we were staying at, and we all found a place that was close by.
The Windmill Pub.
The Windmill Pub. Mm-hmm. And I must say that, you know, a lot of the conversation before you go over there is that, you know, the food over there is not that great. Some of it's bland, which is, for the most part, it can be true. Mm-hmm. But that place that we went to, the Windmill Pub, they had a beef rib
pie. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That might have been one of the best dishes that I have ever had anywhere in my life.
I think I ate it four straight nights.
Yeah.
In fact, it was fantastic. So I was very fortunate to run into a place called Brown's, I think, in the middle of kind of near Mayfair, down where we stayed downtown the first year. Walked into that, just hung out, had some lamb, and then took the train up to Camden, which is a funky little neighborhood in North London. I went to a pub there for a little bit.
And that's the only way, but for those that would ever travel to London.
No,
don't try to take cabs.
Bad idea.
That is not good. learned the train system / tube system because I had a car service to take me to the event on Regent Street on Saturday, and that was from Wembley Stadium basically to Regent Street, which in the tube, what, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, if that.
If that. Yeah. Where via car, I think on the way in it was 30, but on the way back out, how long? It was, it was about an hour. Joe Fortunato, our manager of radio, was with me, and then we were in a car for a good hour. And it took us, I think, 10 minutes. We could see the hotel that we were going back to, and you could just sit there and see it. It took us, I think, 20 minutes within view of it.
Because there's no highway. It's all old roads and little side streets. There's no interstate running through the middle of town.
And it's scary when you get over there because when we were in the car going to Regent Street, there was this one road that we were on, and we had a cab driver. Obviously, he's a local guy, and he knows exactly where he's going, okay? And we didn't take the main thoroughfare, which is, they don't have interstates or anything like that over there. They do have main roads, though, and for the most part, they're bumping a bumper and an inch along. So he cuts off on a couple back streets, and I said, Joe, oh, my gosh, and I was buckled up. And Joe saw me buckled up. We got in a car because I'd been in a car service before and seen how some of these guys drive. We're heading down this road that is basically, it's like a bunch of brownstones, okay? And there's cars parked on side of the road, each side of the road, and this, it's a single-lane road. And I'm thinking it's one way. Well, as we came to find out, it is not one way, and our driver's going like 50, okay? And going around blind curves, and all of a sudden, there's the headlights right in front of you. Fortunately, we didn't get into an accident or anything like that, but it's pretty scary.
Yeah, that'll make you wobbly-kneed getting out of the car for sure with the motorcycles going back and forth. But to continue with the events, I mean, Saturday was a busy,
Well, I'll tell you
day.
What. Oh. Let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay, we'll get to Saturday.
We will talk about Saturday in London for the International Series game that the Jaguars played, their home game against the Buffalo Bills. We'll do that right after this break on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Lagerman, head coach, has got the rest of the show off, enjoying some time with himself and his family, which is well-deserved. And joining me in studio is J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars.com, Jaguars Radio Network guru of everything.
You know what? That's good, though. The coaching staff needs some time, man. This is that time to get that time off, Logs. They got to rest everything.
Let me just kind of give people an idea of what kind of schedule that these guys have. Now, to start with a Monday, I mean, their Mondays are approximately 15, 16, 17-hour days in some cases. You know, getting in at 6 and sometimes staying all the way until midnight. And Tuesday's a very similar day. Wednesday, they start early, and then they can get out maybe at a decent hour. 9 o'clock is considered a decent hour for them. Thursday, things start to kind of slow down a little bit. And then once Thursday has kind of happened, the coordinators solely focus, most teams, solely focus on that week's opponent. They don't look ahead at all because you don't want the coordinators doing any kind of advanced scouting because you don't want them
to get confused
with play calling tendencies, et cetera. But the other staff is looking ahead, starting to break things down. And so Thursdays and Fridays sometimes for the other staff can be very straining as well. And then, you travel. So it's not like, 9-to-5 job to where you get to take time off to go spend time with family or anything else. And that's very difficult. So when they get a bye week and they get an opportunity to take some days off, I say all the more power to them. They deserve every minute they can get.
No doubt.
All right, let's return to London on Saturday.
Okay, yes. I was there.
Yeah, what did you do on Saturday?
Saturday morning, left the hotel at Wembley around 7:30 or 8. Walked down to the train station, took the train down into central London to the Dorchester Hotel, which is where the executives for the Jags were staying and some sponsors and other folks. Down on Park Lane, near the hotel we stayed the first year, which was the Grosvenor House. Shad Khan and Mark Lamping spoke with the media. They had their Jacksonville media availability in some meeting room on the roof of the Dorchester Hotel with its own private patio fountain thing overlooking downtown London.
Very nice.
Unbelievable place.
Great setting, huh?
Really nice. So about 20 minutes worth of press conference for Shad and Mark.
And that was where the announcement about the five-year extension?
Well, they had officially announced that on Thursday out at Wembley before the team got
there.
But
this was the conversation about it.
First conversation the Jacksonville media had there. I think Ryan O'Halloran was probably the only Jacksonville media member at the original announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So all the TVs were there this time. So we were there for that, and then you know, gathered that sound for the pregame show the next day.
What when you sat down to listen to Shad Khan and Mark Lampion, and they talked about this five-year extension, what is the one thing that stuck out in your mind?
That's a good one. The fact that they wanted, there was no other stadium option. They wanted to play at Wembley, I think, and I think they wanted it longer. The league wanted it. A five-year with a five-year option. I think that, you know, we've heard Shad say at the kickoff luncheon actually in September that he would have preferred through maybe 2030. He actually threw out a number then.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite get to that much. That's really, if I had to pick one thing, that was it. And that they keep reiterating that they are focused on Jacksonville. This helps the team status in Jacksonville. And that's the truth, man, because that's an 84,000 seat stadium that sells out.
Right.
You're the home team. I mean, that's a big part of your local revenue.
Well,
and it's going to be a big part for a long time to come.
I think the one thing that a lot of Jacksonville people were thinking originally was like, okay, this could be good for Jacksonville.
Yes.
And I think you're in year three now. I think you can actually kind of touch and feel something and latch on to something. Okay, it is working. And what I say, or what I point to, is that this game being streamed online for the first time ever in NFL history that had viewers worldwide, mm-hmm. I think that right there is, the city of Jacksonville can't pay for that kind of exposure.
Right. And there's talk now after that, and Mr. Khan mentioned that during his availability, and heard it from some city people later in the weekend, that hey, the next step is to have a direct flight from Jacksonville to London. And that I heard that a number of times. So that's a goal now for the city. Mr. Khan has said it, all these guys. And guess what? If that's getting talked about like that, who knows what that could do in the mm-hmm. future for the city of Jacksonville.
Okay, so press conference with
press conference is over, 20 Lampion. Minutes or so. And then I met a friend for coffee at a hotel up the street real quick. And then got over to Regent Street, took the actually walked over.
And for people that don't know, Regent Street would be compared to
Fifth Avenue
in New York.
You bet. All these fancy
or in Chicago, shops. What would it be called in Chicago?
Miracle Mile, right?
Downtown shopping district.
Yeah. So,
and this was literally this entire area, which was I don't know what, half a mile long, maybe a quarter mile. I mean,
probably
it's
kind of
hard to
kind of
get a gauge on it because it kind of bends around. But this whole entire area was blocked off, and it had the presence of the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, but the main presence that was there was the Jacksonville Jaguars, all up and down Regent Street.
So it starts at Oxford Circus, which is on the north end of the street, ended at Piccadilly Circus, the very famous intersection there with all the lights and everything. And you know, like you said, the entire street's pedestrianized. So there's one main stage on the north end by Oxford Circus where Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports emceed all the day. Great guy. We had him on the pregame show. You guys were there. The players went there. Then in the middle, there's a field that was set up in the middle for people to participate. Play 60 event was there actually on Saturday as well. And then down on the south end by Piccadilly Circus was the Jaguars set up. We had our own stage. Lombardi Trophy was there for people to take a photo with.
And it was basically a semi that was completely decked out in all Jaguars logos and colors, and it had a stage to where you were at, and you were the one that was emceeing that.
Yep.
The cheerleaders came up, players came up, ex-players came up. That was pretty cool.
And I tell you what, the NFL does a fantastic job. They do this every single year. So they do one at Trafalgar Square. There's three games. So one at Trafalgar Square the day before. This was the Regent Street game, and they have to figure out another one, I think. I'm not sure where this week's is. Because the one last year at the stadium did not go as well. It's just you don't go to London to go out of London, unless you're going to the game. So they're working on an alternate place for that. But fantastic event. You know, I'd go on for 10 minutes, get the crowd, see what's talk football a little bit, interview you guys. You came down. Tony was there. Greg Jones, Fred Taylor, all those guys came down. Interviewed some fans on the stage. I actually taught people how to throw a football. If you
really
believe that.
Do you know how to throw football?
Barely. But better than they do, I'll tell you that. So I gave them a better idea, at least. So that's the scary part of what was going on there. But good day. And then from there, went back to another reception at one of those hotels on Park Lane. And then the UK Jaguar fan party that night, which we can get into.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, because I want to hear about this.
Oh, it's a scene, man. Yeah.
And also want to talk about some of the pregame festivities that were going on right there at Wembley, because as much as Wembley is on the outskirts of London on game day, you would think that it was downtown central London. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars Radio Network voice, and then also Jaguars.com. And Saturday night in London, after the events there at Regent Street, what happened? Because I didn't see you Saturday night at the hotel.
Well, there was a UK fan party, so a Jaguars UK, they call it the Union Jacks Fan Club. They claim about 50,000 members, actually.
That's pretty strong.
But each Saturday night before the game over there, they have a huge party at one of the pubs, and this was at the Two Sportsmen Pub in Soho, and Rupert Street was the street it was on. So it was like a restaurant downstairs and a bar, and you have like the spiral staircase to a second floor and a couple, three rooms up there with a sound system and TVs everywhere. There had to be 300 Jaguars fans from the UK and the Europe.
Nice.
There. So we were there. John Osier was there. Patrick Day from Jaguars.com were there, kind of leading the thing on a little bit and giving away some items at Birdie. And Birdie Graham is one of the Jaguars employees over there. They had to give away. So we were kind of hosting that and doing trivia with people to give away things and having two-for-one Heinekens. And
very nice.
The whole thing. So it was quite a scene. They had the Alabama-Tennessee game on TV live, which was great. And and then we had to race back to the hotel to get back for the bag drop by 11 o'clock at Wembley.
Which is, when I kind of saw that on the schedule, I was like, why are we having to turn our bags in? But I understand why they did it, in that, you know, they wanted – the players, because this was all about it. Get the players to drop their bags and make sure that their attention is on nothing but the game. Well, they don't have to wake up Sunday morning and say, where do I take my bag?
Yeah, so that's how it went Saturday night. It was a long day, but fun day, productive day. Always fun on Saturdays in London with everything going on. And sounds like we're going to get to do it for a long time to come, man.
Yeah, it was good Friday night. I hit a local pub close to Wembley, and it's a chain. It's called the Green. You remember what the name of it was, Joe?
The Green Man,
which we saw a couple different ones over there in London. And then on Saturday night, right next to the hotel where we stayed at, literally, it's like right out the back door of Wembley. They had this kind of mall, and we had a wonderful dinner at this place called Ping Pong.
I thought you were going to say TGI Fridays.
Yeah, no, it's called Ping Pong, and they had these Asian. It was kind of an Asian theme restaurant that had all the different kind of dumplings, you know. And it was me and Joe Fortunato and Frank Frangie, the play-by-play guy, with Tony Vaselli and Scott Kushner, who's our engineer on game day broadcast. And we probably ordered maybe 20 different things off the menu. And they had this Lazy Susan in the middle of the table. So they put all these things at the middle of the table, and you just spin that Lazy Susan around. And Vaselli was making that thing look like Wheel of Fortune.
I bet he was, yes.
Wow.
We went Saturday during one of the breaks of the event at Regent Street. I walked up the block, and there's all these restaurants around. I mean, the edge of Soho right there. Some corner little walk-in diner thing, a Lebanese restaurant, of all things. And I had this some kind of chicken wrap with, like, pickles on it. And, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Good stuff, huh?
Unreal. It took it back and ate it on stage. Well, not on stage, but off stage there. It was really awesome, out of nowhere.
Well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the pregame activities and festivities that were going on there at Wembley prior to the game. The Jaguars played the home game against the Buffalo Bills there at Wembley. We'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside Jaguars.com, Jaguars Radio Network guru, J.P. Shadrick.
And, guru, that's a good title.
I like
that. I'll take that.
get that put into your title. Maybe get a bump in pay as well when you get the title of a guru.
Jaguars.
Sunday morning, wake up, and Wembley really started to populate pretty early. A lot of people jumped the train, you know, out of London, wherever that they're coming from. And there is a major tube station right there at Wembley with a short walk right to the stadium itself. And when you come from the station itself and you actually walk down, it's almost like a bowling alley gateway to Wembley. And there's tons of activities all along this walkway. And then once you get to the outskirts of the stadium, the park goes around the stadium, walkways, interactive games, everything that the NFL put on, the Jaguars put on. And a lot for fans to do, and the number of Jaguar jerseys obviously were very large. And I had a signing session that I did on the outskirts of the stadium before the game, and started
about. Because you're a legend. That's right. I forgot. About
they call it the Legends Tent, sponsored by Ion, and I was honored to be able to talk to a guy that I played many games against, and that was Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame member.
Good one, yeah.
Saturday at Regent Street, got a chance to talk to another Hall of Fame member that I went against many times and sacked a few times, was Jim Kelly. You know, it was great to see him and great to see him doing well. But it was a lot of fun and got to meet a lot of different fans from so many different countries. And it was interesting that, like, on Friday and Saturday, while you looked out around the area of Wembley, a lot of kids and young people going by, and they're kicking the soccer ball. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, there was no soccer balls. It was all footballs. And it was great meeting people. I met some people that were actually from Mandarin that made a trip over on their own to go to the ball game and met people from all kinds of different countries and a lot of people that actually play American football over there. So that was cool.
The same thing for me on Regent Street on Saturday, meeting a few different couples that came over from Jacksonville, and they make the trip, you know, every other year. They'll save up for a year or two for a week in London and the Jags game, and they had no affiliation with the group, with the team. That's their vacation. They're Jaguar fans, and they go to the game every couple of years. I met a guy and his daughter. His daughter is in school in Rome, and they made a weekend of it. They're not from Jacksonville. They're not from. They just want to go to the NFL game, and it's the Jaguars and the Bills. So, a lot of different scenarios like that. It's pretty cool to meet those different people. And it's funny, all the different jerseys that are there. There are a lot of Jags jerseys, more and more. But every jersey you can imagine is there too.
Oh, yeah. It's from every team in the NFL, from every era.
Stealing a line from the Men in Blazers post game wrap up. It's like the Star Wars bar of NFL jerseys.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I think the fantastic thing that happened was Saturday, Regent Street, cold, rainy, typical London day. Friday, it was kind of the same thing, maybe a little mist and rain here and there, a little chilly. And then game day came about, and the sun came out, and it was cool but absolutely gorgeous.
Perfect day.
I mean, you would have thought that you were watching a football game in October in the Midwest.
It was perfect.
Doesn't get any better.
No doubt.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll wrap this thing up on the other side. And you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars.com guru. Okay, there's your new
title. Is
that
capitalized?
Yes, all of it. It's all caps, kind of like shouting via text. Okay,
I'll take it.
And just to let people know a couple things that are coming up, I know that the Jaguars.com crew has worked extremely hard on a television show that is solely dedicated to Senderek Marks' recovery, and I know you were involved with some of that.
It
looks really good.
Senderek Marks' Road to Recovery. Brian Sexton involved, Patrick Cavanaugh, of course, the executive producer, Dave DeCandis, they all have worked for months on this thing. It airs Saturday night at 10:30 Eastern on Channel 4 in Jacksonville, but I believe the entire television network. So if you have the preseason games, you'll have this as well. So 10:30 Saturday night.
And literally takes him from the time he tore his ACL to where he is at now.
The exclusive interviews with Dr. Kaplan right after the before and after the surgery. Mm-hmm. They're in the way. They actually drove him to the appointment for the surgery. I think Patrick was driving the car. So that's included in it, the recovery process in the training room, the rehab, and then, of course, mic'd up his first game back.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And then on Sunday morning, the Gus Bradley television show, we were able to corral the general manager, Dave Caldwell, which he does not talk very often during the season. He likes to kind of stand back and allow Gus to be the voice of the football team. and had about a 5 or 6 minute segment that I sat down with Dave and Gus together and talked about the dynamic and talked about some of these things with the two of them, and also looking ahead to the season and also looking back. It was a very enjoyable to do. So
pretty awesome.
Look for that on the Gus Bradley Show on Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I hope all the Jaguar fans enjoy the bye week. And next week we look forward to getting right back on track for the game coming up against the New York Football Jets. And we'll talk to everybody next week, same time, same place, right here on the Gus Bradley Show.